We are back. This is the Council Connection. I am your host, Fabian Bix, and on this episode, we're going to discuss testing. We're at a time of year where you either completing it or have already completed it, and also our end-of-the-year items that we need to take care of before we decide to get on the airplane and live our best life this summer. Also, we're going to be going over our housekeeping items and my final thoughts on the Derek Chauvin verdict. This is the part of the show I say let's go.
Like it's common sense. Got a monkey on my feet like it's common sense. Got gorillas in the streets like it's common sense. Stack the money heads up like it's second nature. Got a stay pulled up like it's second nature. Keep a chip in my hair like it's second nature. Big wind that make me step like second nature.
So we're in that time of year, May in April, depending on the county you live in or the state that you have your state mandated test. They're going to look a little bit different this year because of COVID-19, with majority of parents having their children stay home for safety reasons, which is understandable. But if we consider this a regular school year, this is where we do Georgia, where I live at. We do our milestones testing. Milestones testing basically gives you a synopsis of what your scholars have learned throughout the year and scores them on a beginning, developing, proficient, and distinguished level. To me, the way they do testing is a little scary and more so like, I can't think of the word I want to use without coming off as harsh or brash or whatnot, but I would say in a sense it can be unequitable, but it gives a good baseline to show what students have learned for the year. But we also have to take into account, do our students test well, or do they have some type of test anxiety, which leads to teaching about test anxiety or test taking skills, or preparing our parents to help our scholars become test ready, not just on state mandated tests or district formative assessments or even just quizzes. We have to make sure that our scholars are ready in those areas on a daily basis. So one thing I look at testing is, of course, one of our non-counseling tasks is to administer testing or any type of preparation as far as tickets or putting in accommodations into the testing site, that type of thing. But sometimes districts can't help that, because you have small districts that are in rural areas, or that's just the nature of the personnel in your building, where you might have one assistant principal that's handling a lot, and they might pass that duty on to a counselor because they're probably the most flexible person in the building. Which, to say, we are flexible people in the building, but at the same time we have a lot of duties and responsibilities for our comprehensive programs that we do. But to stay on task as far as what we can do to assist our scholars and teachers and administrators with students and testing, this, we look at testing as a year-long process. When we look at it as a year-long process, we need to make sure students are cognizant and abreast of things that they're learning throughout the year. Making sure that they know how to have the proper test taking skills, as far as reading the question, eliminating the most egregious answers that's on there, and always choosing the best answer. Now, some kids will try to take the test quickly just to get it over with, so they want to take it, so the data will be skewed from that. Because when kids look at it as, I'm just doing another test, I'm tired of testing, and nothing wrong, adults are tired of testing, it's not a fair assessment of what they taught through their pedagogy through the whole year. So we always have to find different ways to motivate our students. So couple different things we can do as far as getting our kids ready for testing. For my school, what we did this year, we had a milestones kickoff the week before testing to get everybody enthusiastic and relaxed for testing. So one thing you could do is prepare a milestones week for the students. So our theme this year was Marvel for the milestones. We use Marvel or DC characters and different type of things we use throughout the week, as far as to let students know that we're getting rapid testing and we should take it seriously. And this is basically how it's going to formulate for the next year for you, or if you're going to high school, it's going to be a benchmark of where you were at in middle school and how far you got to go to be caught up in high school or not. A couple of things we could do as counselors as well, throughout the year we can implement some small groups as far as test taking skills or testing anxiety or making sure we have students that are not sleeping properly, make sure we're showing them that the effect of making sure that we get enough sleep each night. Also, we also talk about being on time for testing, because the one thing about testing is if you're absent or late to a test, you have to retake. And that means you probably take one part of the test in the morning, and after your lunch break, you'll be taking a makeup session in the afternoon, which means you'll literally be testing all day. And you don't want scholars to be testing all day because they're already tired from taking sections of, let's say, you took part two or three, part one or two of math, but they missed two or three of ELA. And they'll have to take two and three in the afternoon. And those sections aren't traditionally broken up like section two thing and then section three. Then you'll be extending out testing for all scholars if you do that for each subject. And you don't want to be testing for literally a month because you're taking away from the business of the school each day. So we could tie in attendance and crosswalk that with points of attendance and testing, so that way they won't be doing a lot of testing. Make sure that we're preparing students throughout the year as far as test taking skills, small groups. If you want to do a academic small groups for our students that are failing two or more classes, you could create a lunch bunch for those students to catch up on work. It's like a self-remediation, make sure that their grades get pulled up. I did a small group fall semester where we had a few students that were behind in some classes, and they pulled the grade up for that term. Of course, the business school where we need in different areas, get pulled away, can't really complete it as I wanted to, but that's the nature of being a school counselor. We're pulled in areas that were needed, but at the same time, we just got to continue to advocate and show the data from where I had students that improved from small group having that extra time built in for them to make up the work that they're missing or pull the grade up in class, so that way it'd be one less stress for them to take. Another thing is also those executive skills as far as time management, organizational skills, those type of things can also help our scholars be more prepared for testing. So for me, testing, I don't want to get into a tangent or a rant about, integrated testing seems so definitive. It should be an end of course where it's part of their grade so they can take it more seriously. That's where I'm on that. Possibly, with Georgia, they could take some notes from the College Board where their program set up where they take the PSAT or the SAT was digital, and they have a clock on their computer and the platform, and it times them for their test, so that way we don't have to worry about having clocks or this type of stuff going on. So that way it'd be more manageable, so that way they could learn those executive functions and executive skills as far as making sure you use your time wisely during tests. Because when scholars go to the SAT, or if they're taking like a college, taking a Regents test in Georgia, your time is managed. You know how to plan your time out throughout the test, and you won't rush through it, so that way you'll be ready for it. Just a few things, my thoughts on testing. So I'll be right back with my end of the year items that we're going through right now in my school. We'll be right back. So, you're done with testing, you're done with advisement, you've done everything you need to do. Now you're getting to the end of the year. So, we have a couple weeks for the end of the year for us. And, of course, we're in Henry County, where I'm at. You're a committal high school counselor, 220-day employees. So, my end of the year is not to June 14th. Some districts have their teachers, have their counselors on the same calendar as the teachers. Some counselors might be 12-month employees, where they might get a few days off here in between the June and July months. So, here are a couple things that I plan on doing for my end of the year. Number one is to evaluate my counseling program. How effective was it this year? This year is going to be a little bit more difficult because of COVID. So, I'm looking at what things was I able to accomplish this year. Was I able to do small groups with fidelity, different small groups? Did I get the lessons that I want to do based on these assessments? Did I do a good job advising my students this year? And there's nothing wrong with not being able to accomplish everything you want to do. If you accomplish everything that you want to do, you're doing a great job. You're the best counselor in the world. But that's for some departments, that might be a little bit more difficult because the needs of the building call for them to do other things. And there's nothing wrong with that. So for me this year, one of the goals I had to do, I had to reinvent my some things I did with my A graders, where I implemented college visits virtually. So I did a virtual college tour. Pretty cool. We had 10 schools visit homerooms. I had one group college visit from FAMU. Shout out to Mr. Wiley for hooking that up. Of course, he's a FAMU alumnus, so he's going to have a hookup for that. So we had all the 8th graders participate in that and learn a lot about FAMU. Had a number of colleges that were in Georgia that discussed dual enrollment, which is a bridge bill requirement. We talked about admissions requirements, on-campus life, different majors, admissions requirements, those type of things. And the kids were pretty excited about those things, learning about it now. Because they're going to get more information in high school, but I want to introduce those things to them now, so that way when they get to high school, they should begin a general idea of what they want to do as far as they want to go to college, they want to go to military, they want to go to a tech school, or they want to go straight into the workforce. So, one of those things with end of the year, make sure that we're evaluating our program, what things we need to improve on. One thing I know I need to improve on next year is U-Science, where I want to have all my students complete their aptitude before we move on to other things. So that's one thing I'm looking at next year as far as what I want to do with my scholars leading into the next school year to make sure that they're truly college and career ready when they leave high school. I want them to have a general idea of what they should be doing or what they want to do when they leave high school. Of course, Awards Day, I'm over the 8th grade crossing over ceremony, so we had to plan as far as getting certificates and making sure GPAs and validating A, B on a roll and top scholars in the grade level, that type of stuff. So a lot of help is needed on that end, especially if you're at a big school that has, we'll say, over 300 in one grade level. Or my own building, we have 446 eighth graders. And my previous school, we had no more than 180. 185, which is very manageable. And the teachers ran the awards program as far as who's doing what on the program and who's going to be the speaker and location, so forth and so on. As far as for me, it's a little bit different. I assisted with the teachers with putting things together versus where I'm running in and initiating and that type of thing, which is a fun challenge for me for doing that. So it's new, it's different. So I can make it my own, and of course I don't know everything. That's the one thing I'm gonna say. I'm not gonna know everything, and I'm gonna take suggestions because this is my first full year in this building. I got there last year in February, and of course COVID hit, and I didn't get the experience of last year, so I can have a true experience going to this year. So I'm gonna be leaning on a lot of my 8th grade teachers as far as assistant, but at the same time, I don't want them to have to worry about a lot of things. I want them to just get through this year, and then next year we'll go back and look at what we did the previous years and make those improvements. Of course, one of the main things we need to make sure for the end of the year is we look forward to next year. My thought has always been when you hit January, you always look at next year. Of course, you still got the current year you were in, but you always look forward to next year. So I started looking at 21, 22 back in February when we started having scheduling meetings with the district as far as how you schedule ESE students or how you schedule your gifted and those type of things. So that is something that is needed to be done. My previous kind of, they wanted schedules done by May because they knew the calendar that the councils were on, far as middle school and high school. High school councils were on a 205-day calendar, which is, to me, is not enough time, but it's not for me to judge or anything like that. And for me, 220 days, that's plenty of time to get it done, but the difference is making sure your master schedule is completed and you have your teacher allotments and teacher assignments, even down to where the rooms will be in, so that way you won't have to fiddle with that when you come back in July. You want to have all this stuff locked in before you leave for the summer in June. Another thing, what I would like to do, or what you should be doing at the end of the year, is make a list of what you improved on, what you didn't do well, but what you want to do for the following year. Now, that could be a big list, it could be a small list. It just depends on how your year went before you look at things for next year. What worked well? I know virtual college tours worked well, and I want to spread that out over the whole school year, like First Friday. We know First Friday is going to be a college visit with, we'll say, Southern Crescent or Clayton State. Those are schools that we're affiliated with as far as dual enrollment, so you want to get those students introduced to that. You want to make sure that students are introduced to U-Science as far as aptitude. I think U-Science changed the requirements where 7th grade actually goes in and does the aptitude, and in 8th grade they look at the careers and dual enrollment. So making sure that all your upcoming 8th graders have completed the aptitude. If they haven't, you're going to have some work to do the following school year. Try to get students to make sure that's completed. You try to give them some autonomy when it's done, but there's time or two where you need to go ahead and create core curriculum time for those students to work on it. So that way you could be there and answer any questions they may have, or if they already finished it, you can walk them through what they need to be looking at and different careers and research and that type of stuff. So when I'm looking at the end of the year, I'm looking at my post needs assessment, my grows and glows, awards day scheduling, those 4 to 5 things that I'm looking at as far as making sure what things I need to work on for the next year. And my last thing, my end of the year will be to put on my email, my away email message for the summer. So mine's only going to be for 2 weeks, so it'll be on July 15th all the way to July 6th. So making sure that you turn your away, email message away once your last day hit. So that way you won't be bombarded with emails and they'll just be flagged. I will actually create a folder for those emails that come in from July 15th for me until the 1st. So I only have 2 weeks, and just depending on how things go with make sure schedules are done or anything that's needed, it'll be available. But I won't be checking it every 30 seconds. It'll get done when I get back into the office. So that's something that not just the counselors, but teachers, admin, graduation coaches, social workers, so forth and so on, they need to use that time to refresh and recoup from this year, because this was a difficult year where we're trying to reach students virtually and in person, and it took a toll on a lot of teachers. We got some teachers that retired in mid-year or leaving the profession at the end of this year because of the stress, and I can't blame them. So those are some of the things that I'm looking at as far as end of the year tasks. I might be missing some. If I missed anything that you would like to add on there, leave a message for me on our anchor page, anchor.fm/Fabian minus Vix. FAB as in boy, ION minus Vix. So anything that you want, that you do for end of year tasks or anything that you're looking at for testing, drop a line to us and we'll make sure we're aired for you. Now I'll be back with my housekeeping items right after this. This is the part of the show where I do my housekeeping items. Of course, you can follow me on Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. After you listening, I would really love a new iPad or MacBook Pro, MacBook Air to record my podcast on, or some AirPods, or AirPod Max. Look for sponsors to the show, of course, and I'm an Apple head. I love my Apple products. Of course, you can follow me on the Twitter at FaveThePSC. You can also follow me on Facebook at The Council Connection with Fabian Vix. And you can follow me on Instagram at Fabian Vix. You can also, if you listen to the show and you want to drop some thoughts on what you do in your building, you can use our message app on Anchor. anchor.fm/Fabian-Vix. You can click on the message tab, create an account, leave a message. We promise we will air it. It's been there for 2 years, and nobody has taken a chance to use it yet. And we really would love to hear your feedback on the show, or feedback for things that you do in your building, or some grows and glows, what we could do better. Future episodes coming up this summer, of course, we're going to talk about DEI with school counseling. DEI with superheroes, Steve and Caroline, friends of the show. We're going to discuss that with parallels to Batman and Superman and Falcon and Winter Soldier, how that ties into equity with our students as well too. And of course, I'm going to be at ASCA this year. Excuse me one quick second. I thought it's a little dry. I'm going to be at ASCA this year. I'm an ambassador with Scooter, and we're going to be at the Scooter booth, and I want to meet new counselors, and I love going to ASCA, meet new people, make new connections, and learn different things about people and their states and the things they do and the things that they don't like to do and the things they have to do, which is cool because that's our job, is to learn from each other. Also, can't wait to see what this chapter of being GSA leadership this year, what my role is going to be this year. I'm thinking I'm going to be doing podcasting again this year. I was the Beacon editor for the last 2 years. I believe I'm going to be doing something with professional development and podcasting with previous presidents and members of the leadership team as far as getting the word out as far as available PD for our counselors in the state. This is a new chapter I'm looking forward to. I believe that's going to be what I'm going to be doing. If I'm wrong, I'll come back on the show and say I was wrong. And of course, I want to thank each of y'all for listening to the podcast as well. I just appreciate the views and the love that you've shown throughout these 2 years I've been doing this podcast. Like I said on the previous podcast, I just want to make sure the content is what you all want. Excuse me, like my throat's a little dry. Make sure that it's what you need, it's what you want, and what we want to try to give to you. Thanks to OJ, some of the song, got to give the people what they want. So I just want to make sure that I'm doing that for you. And like I said, self-care is very important. I'm learning that this year. And I know it doesn't seem like I'm putting episodes out like I used to, but I want to make sure the content has valid, and I want to make sure I do it with fidelity. And I thank you for still sticking with me for this podcast, because I'm looking at my listens this year. They're way up this year based on the content we had and the guests we had on the show. And it's a testament to you guys just supporting, and I really do appreciate it. And I hope to make this a lot better for everybody this year and the years going forward. This is something I started a couple years ago as a self-care for myself to, you know, just learn about what other folks do and become better at my craft, as well as something as a PD for me as far as something for, I say, for my counselor keys evaluation, but it's another form of communication as far as how we communicate with stakeholders and colleagues. It's a form of professional development that we use as well. Now that I'm finish with my housekeeping items. This is the longest housekeeping session I've ever done, ever. We'll be right back. My final thoughts on Derek Chauvin and his verdict. Faye's final thought. So we are a couple weeks removed from the Derek Chauvin verdict. I'm actually still in shock that he was found guilty. Not gonna lie, I thought it was gonna be status quo. Didn't even matter what the jury saw and what evidence they had. They could have had nationally televised live, and he still was gonna get off. Because common sense says that was the only verdict because it was overwhelming evidence. But of course, the defense was going to try to make this about George Floyd and his heart condition, his previous drug use, and his obesity. Anything to try to get Derek out of getting charged with murder. But the jury, which was majority Caucasian, saw the evidence for what it was and found him guilty on all three counts. Of course, the question is going to be now, the judge has the final say on sentencing. And what's that going to look like? Is the book going to be thrown completely right in the face of Derek Chauvin? Or is he going to spit in the face of millions and millions of African Americans, spit in the face of George Floyd's family, his lawyers, Black Lives Matter movement, so forth and so on? What's going to happen now? We won't know for about another month, because for the verdict, the sentencing to be adjudicated is going to be 6 to 8 weeks. I wouldn't hold my breath for it to be 6 weeks unless that's an opening in their docket, but we'll see. But I want to give a breakdown of that before I get to my point of all this. It literally took every piece of evidence just to possibly convict him, and he still might not get the years he deserved. So what you're telling me now is, in order for a cop that kills Black and brown people, we have to have 15 witnesses, 5 camera phones, and 5011 riots. Excuse me, not riots, protests, which were for the most part peaceful. Not riots, I apologize, wrong term. Will this change police reform? Will this change laws? Matter of fact, there's a law sitting in Congress right now, the George Floyd law, if I remember correctly. It got to be, remember, a law in the United States has to be passed through the House of Representatives and the Senate to become law. And it has to be signed by Joe Biden. And if Joe Biden vetoes it, it has to pass with 3/4 of the vote of the Congress. So, you're going to come to a stalemate on that one. But this is something that it should be historic. We should feel good, but I didn't. I was shocked that he was guilty. I'm not gonna lie. I thought, well, here's another one. I did my DJ Khaled, and another one. We the best music, and another one. But there's still room for hope. Every year there's an election for like your mayor or city council or House of Representatives and senators and state senators and so forth, and deputy governors or whatever. If you do not like what is going on in your community, you have a voice in your vote. But don't let long lines, or you can't have food or water being given to folks in line, distract you. Early vote when you can. Just find a way. Make a way. Be the way. Vote. If you don't like the laws that are being passed, put together a platform. Create a grassroots committee. If you're bold enough, run for office. If you stand on your morals, be that change. You might not, if you don't win, so what? Just let folks know that you're serious about changing your community. We cannot continue to stand pat and wish that things were different. We got to continue to make that difference. Now, if you want things to continue to be status quo and you want to dog out the politicians and act like you don't have a voice, that's your right. But don't get mad when it starts coming for the things that you believe in and you defend, and you didn't let your voice be heard to make that change. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast. We hope it'll be more frequent, and I'm out.